Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Galatians chapter 3. In verse 1, the Word of God says, O foolish Galatians! O foolish Galatians! That means, Galatians, you did not apply the Word of God. Therefore, you are foolish Galatians. Who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit? Of course, that's the Holy Spirit. By the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Did you receive it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Galatians, you stopped applying the Word of God. And Paul is talking about the Word of God that he taught them. Now, Galatia is north of Syria, where Syria is today. It was in central Turkey. And it was one of the first places that Paul went with the gospel. And he had planted a church there. And then he would communicate with the church either through his epistles or through people that he would send. And this is how he dealt with his churches. And here, he's telling them that you did not obey what I taught you. And the reason is because people would come after Paul, the places where Paul would visit. The Judaizers, who were Jewish Christians, who wanted to adhere to the Mosaic law, instead of adhering strictly to what Jesus had said, salvation by grace through faith, a life of grace. They wanted a life of the law. They wanted Old Testament Jewish religion to dominate New Testament Christianity. And they would follow Paul and undo what he did in the places that he went to. And this happened in Galatia. And so Paul is saying to them, who has bewitched you? Now that word bewitched is the word beskeno. And it's speaking about demonic influence through speaking ill of, or by slander, or by maligning. So these people would come and they would speak ill of the doctrine that Paul had taught them. They would speak ill of Paul, and that was, in fact, demonic influence. So these people who were actually very self-righteous in their religious endeavor were demonically influenced, and they brought their demonic influence to Galatia. And the result in Galatia was that they went from pure faith in grace to working according to the law, striving in the law, striving in religious endeavor to make themselves acceptable to God. And Paul is saying, you are under demonic influence. He says, did you receive it by the works of the law? Or did you receive it by the hearing of faith? Really, we kind of have to ask ourselves the same thing. We tend to have the same old sin nature tendencies that people have had all through history. Why? Because it's the same old sin nature. It's in our genes. There's this tendency very often for us to be performance-oriented. And we say to ourselves, well, I want to do better. Good luck with that. It's like putting lipstick on a cow. You can't do any better. A cow is a cow, and a sin nature is a sin nature. You're not going to improve the sin nature. God didn't say do better. God said trust me. And what Paul is preaching them is salvation by grace through faith, not of themselves, but it's a gift of God in Ephesians 2:8. So Paul is giving them this gift from God, salvation by grace, and they're saying, oh, now that we have this gift of God, salvation by faith, we've got to go into it, and now we really have to work. And we have to keep the law, and we have to keep these various sacraments and the traditions of men, and all these things that the Judaizers were bringing in. And Paul is saying, you're under demonic influence. You see, God is not the author of a religion. God is the author of a relationship. Satan brought in the religious thing to keep people out of the relationship. Because now I can be right with God in my own thinking, appeasing my own conscience, saying to myself, well, now I'm right with God because I'm doing X, Y, and Z. And God is having none of it. Paul is saying, you are under demonic influence, Galatians. Who has done this to you? Who has spoken evil to you of the grace of God? Who has spoken evil to you of the payment that Christ has made? Who has spoken evil to you of the fact that you are accepted in the Beloved just as you are, warts and all? God doesn't care about your warts. Who has spoken evil to you? Who has spoken evil to you that you think that you should somehow perfect yourself, that you even have the most remote option of perfecting yourself, that that's even somehow a possibility? Who has spoken evil to you and brought in this demonic influence? Oh, foolish Galatians. Oh, Galatians that have stopped applying the Word of God. Who's demonically influenced you with an evil report? Now, you should not obey. Obey is the word patho. And it doesn't mean obey as in what we think of obey. It actually means to be persuaded of and to trust. Very similar to the word pistis, which is faith. When did you stop being persuaded of? When did you stop trusting the word of grace? The truth. From whose eyes Jesus was clearly portrayed to you as crucified. In other words, you received it, you heard it, you were present when it was taught, you accepted it, you believed it, and now you've dropped it. And then he asked them this particular question. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law? By your own effort? By your own subjection to some kind of a standard? Or did you simply receive it by the hearing of faith? The hearing of faith there, that's a very interesting phrase. That is akeos pisteos. And it's a genitive feminine singular. And it's not what we think of in our relationship to hearing and faith. Now, we normally think, when we talk about hearing of faith, we'll often think to ourselves, Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing. But that's not what this says here. This is not a faith that comes by hearing. This is a hearing that comes by faith. It's the other way around. All too often, we get faith that comes by hearing, but Paul is saying here, what you want is hearing that comes by faith. Here's the problem with faith that comes by hearing. This is the way the brain works. And this is why in the B part of Romans 10:17, Paul specifies what they had to hear. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But he felt the need to specify for a reason, because faith does come by hearing. For example, the false religions in the world, those people have faith. It's a false faith, but it's a faith. Now, when I say it's a false faith, it still has all the earmarks of faith. It still even has, in many respects, all the power of faith. However, it's not a saving faith, and it's not a faith that really God can accept in any way whatsoever. But it's still a faith. Faith within itself is something of a force. They possess faith. But it's not true faith, in as much as it's not the faith of the Son of God. It didn't come from faith's hearing. It came from hearing's faith. In other words, if I'm talking to, let's say, a Hindu or a Muslim or a Zoroastrian or one of the whole host of other religions out there, all of them have heard and therefore believe. That is a faith that comes from hearing. They heard and they believe. The people who have no faith at all, the atheists, why do they not believe? Because they heard something and now they do not believe in God. They believe in their own worldview. They believe that there is no God, that evolution made it all. That is a faith. How did they get it? They heard something. They heard the wrong thing, therefore they have the wrong faith, but it is still a real faith. But it doesn't matter what you have, unless you have the gospel, unless you have the word of God, it's found in the Bible, you don't have the right hearing, because the word of God is what Paul said is necessary to hear. And then you can have faith. But here he's saying the opposite, not faith by hearing, but hearing by faith. Faith producing hearing, not just hearing producing faith. That's what that genitive is showing us there. If I hear, and then I have faith, it's different than having faith, and a result of that, I hear. This is the difference. If I hear, and then I have faith, then I decide. Then I decide. Then it's by my own faith. But here's the thing. Galatians 2:20 says we don't live by our faith. We live by the faith of the Son of God. And so the premise with which I enter into hearing will determine what the result is. If I enter hearing and my premise is not already faith, my premise is not that the Word of God is in fact the Word of God, then the Word of God will do nothing for me. There's a lot of people who've heard Bible preaching. There's a lot of people who've read Bible. There's a lot of people who read books about the Bible. They don't believe the Bible. You'd go to some of these former fabulous and not so much anymore seminaries that are now the top level Ivy League universities that used to be good schools once upon a time a few hundred years ago, but now are these cesspools of liberal mentality. And they don't believe the Word of God even though they claim to teach the Word of God. And they get into this garbage like higher criticism. So higher criticism. Well, where are you with the criticism? Well, I'm higher. And so they feel like they can judge the Bible. These are morons. There isn't a brain cell in the bunch put together.
But you see, they are very intellectual because they've read 50 books.
I didn't do beans for you, did it? There's the difference. They operated on a non-faith premise. When I operate from a non-faith premise, doesn't matter what I hear, it's not going to do me any good. Yes, it'll produce faith, but all it did is produce in them faith in themselves, faith in their ability to analyze something that is far beyond any human being's complete comprehension, faith in their own brain outperforming the brain that can actually create, come up with, conceive the entire universe and speak it into being. Good luck with that one. But their faith is also their confusion. And so their hearing, which produced faith, was a confused faith. On the other hand, I approach the Word of God. This is the Word of God. Inerrant in its nature, complete in its truth. And the entire premise creates an entire different experience. I don't look at the Word of God like, I wonder if this will work for me. Or, I wonder if this is really true. Or, I wonder if God intended it for my life. Hello? That's a little bit of a weird thought. The Word of God is the Word of God in 2 Timothy 3:16. It was given by God in its entirety. When that is my premise, I enter into faith. And when that faith is the premise of my hearing, my faith produces a new, brand new kind of a form of hearing whereby it takes me somewhere that regular hearing will never go. How do I become seated above in heavenly places in Christ in Ephesians 2:6? How can I even approach that? What does that even mean? Well, you see, there's the difference between faith produced by hearing and hearing produced by faith. If I have a hearing that's produced by faith, being seated above in heavenly places is something I completely get. If I have a faith that's produced by hearing, that's going to be a mystery to me. What does that even mean? See, your premise is wrong. You're starting out with hearing and you're hoping for faith where you need to start out with faith, and then that faith will produce in you a hearing. That hearing will then lead to understanding. It's not your faith, it's the faith of the Son of God. The Word of God says in Revelation 2:7, He says, "He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Not everybody has an ear to hear. And God will make sure that those who will hear as a result of faith will receive, and those who try to have faith as a result of hearing will usually end up in confusion. In Matthew 13, in verses 13 to 16, the Word of God says, "I speak to them in parables," this is Jesus talking, "because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand, and in them the prophecy of Isaiah was fulfilled, which said, 'Hearing you will hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you will see, and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts, and turn, so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, and they hear.'" The disciples accepted Christ as who He was, and therefore they heard. They didn't believe Him because they heard because they believed Him. We're like that too. I don't believe Him because I heard, I hear because I believe Him. You see, I'm not just talking about my ability to receive sound and my tympanic membrane to go back and forth and the cochlear nerve to pick up the waves from the fluid inside the ear and send a signal to my brain. That's not hearing. Anything can receive sound. My dog receives sound. I'm talking about hearing. I'm talking about perception. I'm talking about being transformed by the Word of God because it enters into your frame of reference. It's not going to do that unless there's a faith premise. Certain ones could hear, but they couldn't hear. And certain ones could hear, and they did hear. And what He's saying is here, the disciples of God are the ones who can hear and do hear. And that's based in the premise. John 16:13, "When the Spirit of truth has come, He'll guide you in all truth." That is a person who hears by faith. It's not a person who has faith by hearing. They hear by faith, and the Holy Spirit produces truth. Do you ever wonder why certain people can rest in what they hear and others cannot? It's precisely this. They hear the same Word of God. They hear the same promises of God. Some people can rest in it. Some people can take hope in it. Some people gain life in it. They have complete relaxation. They have complete satisfaction in it. They're completely content simply because that's what the Word of God says. And other people, they hear the same Word of God, and it's the same old flesh pot of a day right after they get out of church. It's the premise. Some hear because they believe, and others hear hoping to believe. And they don't. Why? Because they're not living in the faith of the Son of God. They're living in a human faith that they're hoping will be accelerated and amplified by receiving the Word of God. The Word of God says in Matthew 13:19, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches it away. This is the person who receives it by the roadside. In other words, it's like being a person by the roadside. If I'm trying to live in a hearing-based faith, then I will have the Word of God stolen from me very quickly, so that that faith never does become alive. However, if I have faith-based hearing, when the Word of God comes, it will immediately fall deeply within the soil of my perception. You can't take that away. You can't find it. It's hidden deep in the heart. We as believers must live in faith-based hearing. We have a hearing that belongs to faith. That's what that literally means. A hearing that belongs to faith, not faith that belongs to hearing. When I have a hearing that belongs to faith, all of a sudden I know what is true and what is not. You ever notice, and sometimes Christians get confused by this, the ones who don't know how to operate in this kind of a faith, they hear 50 different things and they say to you, which one is true? How do you know which one's true? Like, who do you listen to? Who do you believe? It's an honest question, and it's a sincere question, and these people desire to know, and they desire to grow, and that's fine. But it also shows me that it's a very elementary form of hearing, where they have a hearing-based faith. In other words, faith comes by hearing for them, not hearing by faith. When it's hearing by faith, it's the Holy Spirit guiding me in all truth, because I live by the faith of the Son of God. I don't live in my own faith. This is produced for me in the oneness that we enjoy, having become one individual as the body of Christ at the cross with Christ in Ephesians 2:15-16. Because we're already the body of Christ, because we already have the Holy Spirit inside of us, if I live in the faith of the Son of God, I'm essentially living in truth as the Holy Spirit is guiding me into it, because I'm not living in a natural faith. I'm living in the life of the one who's already living in me. That's not something you work up. That is a reality that you receive the moment you get saved. The Holy Spirit is residing in you. That means the fullness of God is residing in you with the fullness of the mind of God. And then you hear and you discern, this is the Bible, this is the Word of God, this is not the Bible, this is somebody's opinion. It's not very difficult, but it takes faith-based hearing, not hearing-based faith. If I hear through hearing of faith, then discerning which is very easy for me. And growing is very easy for me. Growing is something that doesn't even take effort. It's simply what happens because I'm feeding the human spirit's relationship with the Holy Spirit. And by that relationship becoming active in my soul, I grow. It's not something I do. It's not something I perform. It's something God does in me, because I start with the premise of every word is inspired by Him. Every word is true. Now we have the hearing of faith, rather than a faith that comes by hearing. Now, in order to do that, I have to have application. Jesus said in John 15:14, "You are my friends if you do whatever I command you." And in James 2:17, the Word of God says, "Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." It's not talking about performance. It's talking about a living faith with a faith response. Faith that doesn't respond is dead. Application. Faith that comes by hearing won't have application. The hearing of faith has application. Why? It's the faith of the Son of God. And so I have application. The key to making Christianity practical is the application of the Word of God, because you had a faith-based hearing of the Word of God. Let me say that again, because people need to get this. The key to making Christianity completely practical is applying the Word of God, which you do because you had the hearing of faith. In other words, you started with faith, which produced hearing. You didn't start with hearing attempting to get faith. You started with faith that produced hearing, and the natural extension of that, because the faith is present, is application. So I apply the Word of God in details because I have the hearing of faith. And when the hearing of faith is present and the Word of God comes in, application is its normal extension. So I start to apply it. The funny thing is, we do that with everything else in our lives, but for some reason we scratch our head with how to do that with the Word of God. It's no mystery. It's the simplest thing there can be. If somebody says to you, "Well, this is how you drive a car," and you know very well that if you don't apply what you were taught in school as to how to drive a car, you're not going to drive a car successfully or far. Well, likewise with the Word of God. You hear the Word of God preached. If you believe the Word of God and you start with that premise, then you're going to start applying it successfully. If you say to yourself, "Oh, I don't know about that. I mean, I heard it, but this is what I think it means," you're going to apply it unsuccessfully and not for very long, because it's not going to work for you. So you start with a faith-based hearing, not a hearing-based faith. Why even hear it if you don't believe it? And the truth of the matter is, you won't hear it if you don't believe it. I believe that's one of the reasons why sometimes Christians will receive the Word of God. They'll sit there, they'll receive everything else everybody else does, and it does nothing for them. No change, no effect, nothing. Like it was never even spoken. Because they're hoping to build faith by hearing, when the truth of the matter is, they have it backward. You hear because you believe. Well, how do I get to the point of believing? The Holy Spirit is inside of you, is He not? The Holy Spirit is the one who produces in you. The tendency is going to be, and I know this is going to happen to people, the tendency is going to be to strive to make this happen, when the reality of it is, humility is the key to making it happen. You don't strive to make it happen. You humble yourself. And then it happens. What does it mean that I humble myself? How does that even connect to it? Very simple. Humility is simply agreeing with the Word of God. Not elevating experience, not elevating opinion, not elevating anything above the Word of God. People say, "Well, my experiences, I mean, they're pretty concrete." No, your experiences are the interpretation of your perceptions. You have no idea what you've actually experienced. "Well, I was there. I know pretty clearly." No, what you know is the way that your perceptions have interpreted it for you. That's why you have two people who experience exactly the same thing. One thinks it's amazing, one thinks it's awful. It's all about perceptions. There is no such thing as experience. None of that type. Experience is subjective. can't define anything for you. And so, if you have faith-based hearing, you will have faith-based experiences. If you have hearing-based faith, you will have experiences that are trying to desperately line up the principles which you were taught and still recall with your situations, but you can never connect them because it's not in lining them up. That's not how it works. One of the issues that we have with this is what Jesus said in Matthew 16:24. He said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." The order is important. You know what we often try to do? We try to sometimes follow Jesus, pick up our cross, and thereby deny ourselves. That's backwards. Jesus said, no, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. We say, no, Lord, I'm going to follow you. Because I'm following you, I'll be able to pick up my cross, and then I'll be able to deny myself. And God says, you have it backwards. People who do that often find out it doesn't really work for them. Why? Self-orientation has to be put aside. Deny yourself. Stop being self-oriented. Simple as that. Then he says, pick up your cross. In Galatians 2:20, that means enter the life of God. Enter God's quality of life, which is going to be the natural extension of denying yourself. That will happen once you deny yourself. You don't have to make it happen. The Holy Spirit in you will make it happen. So you stop being self-oriented and you enter into God's quality of life, and then you have the capacity to follow Him. If you try to do it backward, it's not going to work for you. So some people say, well, it's so hard. Christianity is so hard. Life is so hard. It's so miserable. I have to endure so many things. And this is terrible. And look at my circumstances. And how in the world am I supposed to be a Christian? It's so hard to follow Christ. You're doing it backwards. That's why it's hard. Do it right and it's not hard. Simple. You stop being self-oriented, you enter into the life of God, and you can follow Him. You can't follow Him any other way. It's like trying to go into a house through a wall. No, you go through the door. Leave the wall alone. It's not very difficult. It starts with the right premise. You have the hearing of faith, not the faith of hearing. You have the hearing of faith. Ephesians 4:14 and 15. We should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head of Christ. Speaking the truth in love, a hearing of faith, truth in love. Sometimes people say, well, I have to speak the truth in love, and then they start to criticize. That's not truth, and that's not love. You don't have either one. Two strikes. And then because you said it, three strikes, you're out. Matthew 7:1 and 2, Romans 2:1 and 2, James 4:11. No. Truth and love means the hearing of faith with the character of God. That's it right there. Communicating with the character of God. Responding to the character of God. That comes by the hearing of faith. The hearing of faith will always lead me to the character of God. It will produce that love that God commands us to have. It comes through the hearing of faith. If I don't have the hearing of faith, then I'll easily be bewitched. Demonic influence will come in through some form of evil report. Whether it's evil report that I've received through projections of demons, or whether it's evil report that I receive from someone who's given their voice box to demons. But I'll be open to it when there is no hearing of faith. Faith by hearing is fine for those who are entering into Christianity so far as they're hearing the word of God. Otherwise, it's not so fine. But for somebody who's looking to break the maturity barrier, you have to have the hearing of faith, because that's where truth and love lies. And without it, I'll never grow. With it, I don't have to strive to grow. The Holy Spirit will just make it happen. Amen? If you don't know that you're going to heaven when you die, if you would like to go to heaven when you die, and know without any question in your mind, based in the Word of God, He gave it to you as a gift, so simply thank Him for that gift. Pray in your heart, Lord Jesus, thank you for your mercy. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. I accept your gift. I accept your mercy. Save my soul and take me to heaven when I die. Amen.